just how vindictive. His vanity wounded by Mordecai. Somehow Haman had persuaded the king to order the mass murder of all the Jewish people, completely contrary to the usual government practice of leaving conquered people alone so long as they remained loyal. And there were rumours that the deal involved a large amount of money flowing into the king's treasury. But who knew for sure? There were always rumours at court. What was sure was that a decree had gone out in the king's name ordering this massacre. And Mordecai had pleaded with Esther to intercede with the king. But she had not seen the king in over a month. She had not been called. The only way was to enter the throne room unsummoned, but she knew very well that was forbidden, even to her. And if she did enter, it meant death, execution, unless the king chose to extend his scepter to her. And his moods were unpredictable. Yet she could see no other way if her plan was to have any choice. She stood up. She had decided. There was no other way. And she walked quickly until she came to the curtained entranceway. Lord God, she prayed quickly, God of my people, protect me. And her knees shook a little, and she parted the curtains and walked into the room. Sometimes it helps just to imagine for a while what it must have been like to picture the scene, the emotions, to do these things in our imaginations. And so it is with the story of Hadassah or Esther. The story of Queen Esther, contained in the book bearing her name in our Old Testament, is not without its problems. Strangely, there is no explicit reference to God in the entire book. He's never mentioned once. There's also plenty of debate as to whether the story is supposed to be taken as a historical story or as a sort of tale told to make a point. It also presents us with numerous moral or ethical dilemmas. What are we to make of the fact that although Esther convinces the king to save her people, he does so not by countermanding his first order, for once given, his decrees may not be revoked, but he saves the people instead by allowing the Jews to take up arms and to engage in a bloody self-defense, which, even worse, is so enjoyable that it's repeated by Esther's request on the following day. On the Sundays before Easter this year, during this season of Lent, we were looking at some of these stories in the Bible which speak of God's people in exile. This week at Majesty Castle Holiday Club, we've heard Bible stories of kings and a queen, and considering their situations, thinking about their different pieces of spiritual armour which God gives us, which the Apostle Paul wrote about in his letter to the Ephesians. So we heard about Nebuchadnezzar and David, about Jesus, King of the Jews, and Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we also enjoyed this story of Esther, who herself was a believer in exile. And the story of Esther tells us that we must work to retain our identity in exile when we're surrounded by a culture that is alien. And somehow, though the generations had passed, Esther understood that she was different. Perhaps it was Mordecai who had taught her. It cannot have been easy, surrounded by a culture that had very different priorities and different beliefs. Can you imagine how easy it would have been for a young woman, now at the very centre of the royal court, to forget slowly, bit by bit? And you and I, we too live in a society that has different priorities and different beliefs than our faith teaches us. And it's easy, slowly, to forget, not to see the vast difference between the teachings of Jesus and what goes on in our society. Slowly to merge the two, almost without noticing it. How often have we seen it all happen? It's all so easy. A few Sundays missed from gathering for worship turns into a few months and then a few years. Instead of Sunday being a day for worship and rest, it becomes a day for shopping and business as usual. Instead of having an attitude of compassion for the poor or the refugee, we find ourselves mouthing the hard attitudes of a society that blames the victim for his own troubles and leaves him by the side of the road. And we consume more than we really need because everyone else does. And slowly, slowly, we become part of the culture that's all around us. It isn't easy to maintain our identity in this culture surrounded by all these foreign attitudes. It takes work. It takes hard work. And Esther, well, the book of Esther tells us that there is no permanent safety for exiles. One might think that if anyone was safe in the Persian Empire, surely it would be the queen, at least as long as she continued to please the king. But Esther's position was precarious at best, even more so as a person of faith. And the moment came when Esther had to choose. She could risk everything to save her people or say nothing and remain secure for the moment. For the king did not know that she was Jewish. Few of us, I think, will ever face such a dramatic choice as Esther did. But there will be moments when we have to risk our safety. Perhaps at work, in the lunchroom, when the conversation takes that turn. And now, gulp, now there is the perfect opportunity, finally, to say something about Jesus Christ. But do I say that I'm a Christian? Everyone will think I'm a nut. Do I step out of my safe place and risk it or not? When the boss asks me to do something underhanded, when I do or do I say no? Do I step out of my safe place or not? There is, for those of us who are exiles, no permanent safe place. Other, of course, than the safety of living within God's own will, as the psalmist says in Psalm 4. And the story of Esther tells us that we need wisdom and courage to live in exile. Esther found herself in a difficult situation. From our perspective, it may be easy to criticize her choices, but we too live in a world that is very complicated, and we live with complicated lives. It's not always immediately clear what choice is the right choice, which opinion is the right opinion, which opinion is the ethical one, or the ethical choice. And we often move amid shades of grey and ambiguity, and we need wisdom, but we also need courage. It takes enormous courage to stand alone, or even as part of a small minority. Living in exile isn't for cowards or the faint-hearted. But fortunately, we exiles know where to go, or better worded, whom to go to. For both things, wisdom and courage. Centuries after the story of Esther, when God came among us in Jesus Christ, he was approached by a man who claimed that he would follow Jesus wherever Jesus went. And Jesus responded to that man saying, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The immediate meaning was clear enough. This saying didn't mean so much that Jesus didn't have a home base, for he seems to have made Capernaum and the home of Peter his base of operations. But basically, Jesus was out on the road. He was an itinerant. As Peter writes, we are to live in reverent fear during the time of exile. Exile is not an easy place to be. Being surrounded by a culture that is alien to our faith is not easy. It presents enormous challenges. There is no permanent safe place when we are in exile. We need courage and wisdom to discern complex problems, and we must work to retain our identity. But it is that very thing to which we are called. And when we began following Jesus, did we really expect anything else? As Horatius Bonner wrote in the hymn, "Go labor on." Go labor on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went, should not the servant tread it still? Amen. May the glory be to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.